Thank you very much, Rabbi Goldberg. It really is a pleasure to be here. Already this is the third Shabbos we're spending together, and each time I leave very, very inspired by the growth of the community, by the participation, the intensity of the Eisek B'Torah and Gemilus Chasadim. And Baruch Hashem, as Yerav mentioned, I was able to reciprocate when many of you came to the yeshiva for a short window of time. Maybe this coming year you can join me for a few weeks for Zman, and we can really learn together in an intense fashion. But Baruch Hashem, it's really a pleasure to be with you. The timing is very, very auspicious, because to be on the threshold of Hanukkah makes some of these drushes for me somewhat easier, because I can weave aspects of Shabbos and aspects of Hanukkah, and tonight to discuss the differences and similarities between the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeros when it comes to Shabbos and the obligation of lighting the Hanukkah candles themselves. Let me begin with a comment that the Rambam has, Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. In the earlier Perek, Perek Chavtes, the Rambam discusses at length all of the aspects of the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos and the obligation to make Havdalah at the conclusion of Shabbos. And now that the Rambam finished that broad discussion, the Rambam begins Perek Lamed Arba Dvarim Nemur B'Shabbos, that there are four different obligations of Shabbos. Shnayim in HaTorah, v'shnayim divrei sofrim, v'hem l'furashin al yedei ha-Naviyim. Two are found in the Torah proper, and two are found in the Navi Yeshayim. Min HaTorah, the Rambam writes, zachar v'shamar, v'nisparshu al yedei ha-Naviyim, kavod va'oneg shenemar, v'karas le'Shabbos one, the Kadosh Hashem Achuba. Min HaTorah, the obligation of Shabbos is very simple. Zachar and Shema, what we always sing in Lecha Dodi. Zachar, to remember Shabbos, the Gemara writes in Shavuos and Daf Chav, in Brachos Daf Chav, an obligation of making Kiddush at the beginning of each and every Shabbos. And then as the Rambam writes, the mitzvah of making Havdalah at its conclusion. So the obligation of Zachar, remembrance of Shabbos, means B'chnisasa, B'yitziyasa. You have to mark the significance of Shabbos when it arrives and when it departs. And shomer sema shakar, literally meaning to pay heed, to be careful, to refrain, of course is referring to refraining from all of the forbidden activities, the lamites malachos of Shabbos. So the Rambam writes, when you look in the Torah itself, the uniqueness of Shabbos is expressed in refraining from malacha, the obligation of Kiddush and Havdalah. But then you look in the Navi Yeshaya. The Navi Yeshaya all of a sudden expresses different dimensions of Shabbos. Kavod, oneg. Kavod means to pay honor to the Shabbos. Oneg, to delight during the day of Shabbos. We'll soon discuss, but somewhat unclear exactly what is the difference between kavod and oneg Shabbos. And that you don't find in the Torah proper, but rather that the Navi Yeshaya tells us. And the formulation of the Rambam is very striking. You know, Soloveitchik used to teach us that it's not merely the simple do's and don'ts that the Rambam describes, but it's unusual the way the Rambam begins this Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, Arbad Vram Nemru B'Shabbos, that there are four different obligations, four different categories, as though what I'm about to tell you somehow relates to what I taught you previously regarding Kiddush and Havdalah. And the meaning of that Rambam simply is this. If I were to ask you, when you make Kiddush on Shabbos, what exactly is the essence of that mitzvah? What is its purpose? What exactly are you trying to do? The Rambam writes, it's not really that you're sanctifying the day, because the Kiddush of Shabbos, the Goran Beitza Daf Yud Zayin, is fixed, it's set, it is considered to be Kviya V'Kaima. Even if, Rachmana Litzlan, we don't observe Shabbos, it will still be Shabbos. But you know what you do when you make Kiddush? You set Shabbos apart from the Yemei HaChol. You literally mention that you know that Shabbos is absolutely distinct. And maintaining that distinction, that Shabbos is set apart, bookended from Yemei HaChol, that is the mitzvah of Zachrei Sema Shabbos L'Kadsha. The Rambam writes, Zachrei Zechiras Shevach. You have to praise the Shabbos and recognize the week is not seamless, but rather Shabbos front and center stands apart from all the rest of the weekdays. And that is the mitzvah of Kiddush. And it's not surprising that the Rambam includes the mitzvah of Kiddush, even the mitzvah of Havdalah. Because after all, if the essence, the purpose, the nature of Shabbos is to set Shabbos apart from a typical weekday, so you understand very well that it doesn't only apply when Shabbos begins, but even when Shabbos departs, and therefore, not only Kiddush, but even Havdalah. And if I were to ask you, in what sense is Shabbos different? True, Kiddush, Havdalah, refrain from Halacha. But now the Rambam writes something striking, that the Navi Yeshaya writes that that really is not sufficient. That's necessary, but that really is not enough. There's an obligation of Kavod Shabbos. There's an obligation of Oneg Shabbos. One has to pay honor to Shabbos. You have to delight on the Shabbos. The Navi describes that lo yeh diburo b'Shabbos, k'diburo b'chol. Don't speak on Shabbos. The same way that you speak during the week. Don't walk on Shabbos. Lo yeh hilukach b'Shabbos, kilukach b'chol. Walk differently on Shabbos. Dress differently on Shabbos than you do on a typical day of the week. And when the Navi tells us all of this, what exactly is he doing? So Soloveitchik pointed out just a fascinating diuk in this Rambam. The Rambam describes, for example, the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukah candles as a takana, as a formal rabbinic institution. Kriya Samegillah, the Rambam describes as being a takana. The Rambam doesn't describe Kavod and Oneg as being a takana, but rather Shehem Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNaviim. It's an expansion. It's an expansion of the Torah's idea of what Shabbos indeed should be. If Shabbos is set apart for Yemei HaChol, Kiddush and Havdalah, refraining from Halacha, now the Navi Yeshaya tells us the following. You know, there's more to Shabbos. That how you treat the Shabbos, how you care for Shabbos, how you conduct yourself during Shabbos. All of that is Vehein Mefurashin Al Yedei HaNaviim. All of that is an expansion, a pirush, an elaboration of what the Torah tells us. And therefore, that's something which is critical. That these elements of Kavod and Oneg are not independent mitzvos Rabbanon, but rather they are chava, an expansion of the mitzvos of Zachar and Shamor. And that's why the Rambam begins, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos. I think this is relevant in the following sense. You know, the Gemara tells us, Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin, that on every Shabbos you're obligated to have three different meals, Suda Shabbos. That very Gemara tells us that you're obligated to have Lechem Mishnah. Don't just simply make a motzi on a single challah, but on two challahs. The Gemara doesn't tell us explicitly, but the Ran and Rabbeinu Tam, on that sugya, it's found in the Ran Adaf Mem Dalet and Dapi Harif that not only men, but women are obligated in all aspects of Shabbos meals and in having Lechem Mishnah as well. How do you know that this is true? How do you know that women are obligated in? Because typically, by default, the rule of thumb is if you have a time-bound mitzvah, a mitzvah sasei, shazman grama, kedushin chavtes, that women are exempt. And all of a sudden here, women are obligated in Suda Shabbos and obligated in Lechem Mishnah. How do you know that that's true? Rabbi Natan suggests the following. Why do you have three Sudas on Shabbos? Why do you have a double portion of challah? That reminds us of the nes of the man. That the man in the Midbar fell on weekdays, didn't fall on Shabbos. And as a zecher leman, we have special Sudas on Shabbos. In order to remember the nes of the man, therefore we have Lechem Mishnah. So Rabbi Natan applies the principle of this miracle did not only apply to men, applied to women as well. And therefore, women are obligated in Suda Shabbos and obligated in Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara never makes that application, but we're familiar with it because we know women are obligated in Chanukah, Megillah, Dalakosas, all based on the principle of Afein Ha'Oso Hanes, three cases in the Gemara, Rabbi Natan writes a fourth. And that is Suda Shabbos and Lechem Mishnah. The Ran writes, I agree with Rabbeinu Tam. I agree that women are obligated in, but you don't have to come on to that reason of Afein Ha'Oso Hanes. Why not? Very simply, the Ran writes, women are obligated in Kiddush. Isn't Kiddush a time-bound mitzvah? But yet women are obligated. Why is that true? That's the basis of what we sing in the Chadodi. Brachos Tavchav, Zachar V'Shamar, B'dibor Echad Nemo, Kosheishna B'Shmira, Yeshna B'Zachir. The Torah equates refraining from halacha to remembrance of Shabbos. And whoever is obligated to refrain from halacha on Shabbos is obligated in the aspects of Kiddush as well. And therefore, Nashim Chayavos B'Kiddush Hayom, everyone is obligated in Kiddush, because Zachar V'Shamar B'Dibur Echad Namar. Ooh, so the Ran writes the following. Why does Rabbi Yotam have to come on to the reason of Afein HaBoso Anes? What's wrong with Zachar V'Shamar B'Dibur Echad Namar? Kol Shiyeshno B'Shmira, Yeshno B'Zachira. And if you have the reason of Kol Shiyeshno, you don't have to come on to Afein HaBoso Anes. That's the Kasha of the Ran. Once you have black and white in the Gemara, Kol Shiyeshno B'Shmir Yeshno B'Zachira, you don't need any other reason. That reason is sufficient. And therefore, why do you have to come on to any other reason? Rabbi Natam Zafein HaBosonez. That's the Kasha that the Ran writes. It's Rabbi Chonan Vasserman, Kol B'Shiyuri Himsachim, Reish Yudalim, writes the following question. That Ran, if you have Kol Shiyeshno, you don't need Afein HaBosonez. Is that really true? If you have one, you don't need the other. At the Seder night, everyone's obligated to eat matzah, men and women alike. Why don't you consider eating matzah a time bar mitzvah? Oh, that's a Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Gimel, that the Torah equates the prohibition of eating chametz to the mitzvah of eating matzah, kol, sheyeshna b'bal tov chametz, sheyeshna b'kumach matzah. Whoever's obligated in one is obligated in another. Kol sheyeshna. Women are obligated in dalakosos at the Seder. How do you know that that's true? Psachim kufches. Because hafein hayavos on ace. So the Gemara has two reasons, no? The Gemara writes that when it comes to Pesach, kol sheyeshna, but yet when it comes to dalakosos, you need an additional reason of hafein hayavos on ace. So how can the Rana argue, once you have kol sheyeshna, that's it, we're done. You don't need any other reason. That's not true. So why is the Ran critical of that answer of Rabbeinu Tam? Once you have one, you don't need the other, really. Rabbi Chanan writes, when it comes to the Lel Seder, you have Kol Sheyeshno, but that's not all-encompassing, that applies to Matzah. But how do you know women are obligated to Dalakosos? Afein HaYavosonis. That's Rabbi Chanan's difficulty. He leaves that as a kasha. I would answer as follows. There's a real difference between Shabbos and Pesach, and I think that's critical. Women are obligated to Matzah. Whoever has to refrain from Yechametz and Pesach is obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. That's true. Does that extend to Dalakosos? Certainly not. Dalakosos requires a new reason. Afein HaBosonez. Because Dalakosos is a separate mitzvah, not an expansion of the mitzvah of eating matzah. If I were to ask you, is Dalakosos an expansion of the Seder of the mitzvah of Beretoch L'matzos, you'll tell me, certainly not. They're independent mitzvos. You know, there are four reasons that we have dalet kosos. But it is not based on matzah. They're independent reasons. The most famous reason, Udi Rishalmi, the four lishonos of geula, the Torah describes, the Miri writes, four distinct stages of redemption. Each one is commemorated by a kos. But that is not an expansion of the mitzvah of matzah. So therefore, even though women are obligated in matzah, it's not self-evident that women are obligated in dalet kosos, and therefore another reason is necessary. But that's not true when it comes to Kavod and Oneg. Kavod and Oneg, honoring, delighting on Shabbos, is not a standalone, independent mitzvah, but it's an expansion of Zachar and Shama. And that's how the Rambam begins, Arba Dram Nemo B'Shabbos. Shabbos has to be distinct. Shabbos has to be set apart. How do you set Shabbos apart from? Well, the Torah says this, and the Navi Yeshaya says, and let me add to that list. There are other ways that you have to demonstrate the uniqueness of Shabbos, setting Shabbos apart from Yimei HaChol. But Kavod and Oneg are not independent mitzvos, but rather an expansion of Zachar and Shamar. And that's the view of the Ran. Therefore, whoever is obligated in Zachar and Shamar necessarily is going to be obligated in Kavod and Oneg as well. And therefore the Ram doesn't treat them as separate mitzvahs, but rather as part of. And therefore it's critical to properly observe Shabbos. Of course, you begin with Kiddush, Havdalah, refraining from any forbidden activities, Malacha. But what about the very essence of what Shabbos is supposed to represent? That's what the Navi Yeshaya tells us, V'karas l'Shabbos Oneg, the Kadosh Hashem Echuba. And if I were to ask, what exactly is the difference between Kavod versus Oneg? Literally, Kavod means to pay honor to, and Oneg means to delight on. But what exactly is the difference? There's a comment the Vilna Gaon has. You know, it's one line in the Vilna Gaon, but it speaks volumes. The very end of Hilchos Yontif, Tavkuv Chavtes, the Vilna Gaon writes the following. Oneg refers to that which I do on the day of Shabbos, on the day of Yontif. When a person, for example, enjoys, experiences Shabbos, when you have a festive meal, a Suda Shabbos, a Sudas Yontif, all of that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And what exactly is Kavod? Paying honor to Shabbos? You know, you're expecting a prominent guest. You don't wait until they arrive, and once they're there, you begin to prepare. But rather, you prepare in advance, anticipating their arrival. The preparation prior to Shabbos, that is the mitzvah of Kavod. Kavod begins on Erev Shabbos. Oneg is on Shabbos itself. So when a person prepares for Shabbos, that is the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. That is how you show honor to Shabbos. And then you partake during the day of Shabbos. And that, the Vilna Gaon writes, is the difference between Kavod and Oneg. And if you ask me, where did the Vilna Gaon get this from? When you look back at the Rambam, it's clear. The Rambam discusses this in two places, Perakei of Hilchos Shabbos, Perak Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. And we look at the examples the Rambam gives, they're stunning. All the examples of Kavod, the Rambam's clear. Now, you don't always see it, but you see this comment of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, all the examples that the Rambam gives is how you prepare for Shabbos to make sure that you are ready. All the Shabbos provisions are ready. That the home is ready. The Rambam writes, Yoshev Umetzapa. That's a challenge. No, it means everything is done, not in a hurried way, but everything is done benachas, in a very deliberate way. You enter Shabbos, the Rambam writes, in a very calm fashion. Yoshev Umetzapa. You await the arrival of Shabbos, not in a rush, but rather do so at ease. And you welcome, you await the presence of Shabbos. All of that is the mitzvah of Kavod. And then the Rambam writes, Shabbos begins, and now a flip. Now that's considered to be the obligation of Oneg Shabbos. And I'll tell you something fascinating. When you look in both of those places in the Rambam, Perakei, Perak Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam distinguishes Kavod, Oneg, but there's one mitzvah that's an overlap. One mitzvah the Rambam writes in the fifth, and then later in the 30th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos. And that's the mitzvah of Hadlakas Haneros, of candlelight. The Rambam writes that in two places. Apparently, you know what you see from there? That the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos has two elements to it, two dimensions, two halachas. Candlelighting is part of Oneg Shabbos, but also is part of Kavod Shabbos. Kavod and Oneg. Well, where do you see this is true? I'll give you an example. The Mishnah tells us from Shabbos, Daf Chof Dalit, Ein Madlikin Be'itron. You can't use a foul-smelling resin for the Ner Shabbos. What's wrong with that? The Gemara writes the next Daf, Chofei, that Shema Yanichena Be'etzei. You're going to light the Ner Shabbos. It's going to start to emit a foul odor. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to light and leave. Light and leave. You can't light and leave. If you light and leave, you're not deriving benefit from the candles that are burning on Shabbos. And the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos requires that you derive benefit, pleasure from the candles burning on Shabbos itself. That's what Tosus writes. The Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Noah writes, the Karasal Shabbos Oneg, the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, Zu Hadlakas Ner B'Shabbos. That is the mitzvah of candlelighting. When you have a ner which is dull of babayis, that, the radiance of Shabbos, the illumination of Shabbos, that is the mitzvah of Oneg. But I'll ask you the following. Obviously, you don't light the Shabbos candles on Shabbos. You light prior to Shabbos. Why do you light prior to Shabbos? So if you're going to tell me, well, because your hands are tied, then you really have no choice. Obviously, you can't wait until Shabbos. You're not allowed to. You have to light before. That's true. But that's not the complete answer. You know why you benchlicht early when it comes to Shabbos? Not just simply because your hands are tied, you have no choice. But the Rambam writes because that's part of the mitzvah kavod, of kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos demands that you prepare for Shabbos in advance. You don't just wait until Shabbos arrives and then you begin, but rather you do so in advance. So the Rambam writes, deriving benefit from the candles, the neros on Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of oneg. But the Rambam writes, the hadlaka mi ba'od yom, early in the day, that is the mitzvah of kavod. The Rambam writes there are two elements, two dinim, two aspects to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. Kavod means mi ba'od yom, earlier in the day. And oneg means to derive benefit from the candles that are burning at that particular time. You know, if you look in the introduction to the Drisha Tur Yoredeya, that introduction was written by the son of the Drisha. And he writes, he learned from his mother that there are two aspects to candle lighting on Shabbos. That not only is there a mitzvah of oneg on Shabbos, but a mitzvah of kavod. And he writes, and therefore his mother said, you know, I'll tell you a difference. When it comes to Yantiv, there are ways that you can extend a flame on Yantiv. So if the mitzvah of Neros on Yantiv was only a mitzvah of Oneg, you can wait until Yantiv begins, and then you can extend a flame on Yantiv, and you'll see to it that you have Neros of Yantiv during that day. But he writes, his mother taught him that no, part of the mitzvah Lakas Neros is a mitzvah of kavod, and therefore even on Yantiv, when one in principle could extend a flame on Yantiv proper, you still have to benchlicht early, because the Rambam writes in Perek Gvav Hilchos Yantiv, Kishem Shechayavim L'Chabed Shabbos U'La'ongo, that just as you're obligated to pay honor to Shabbos, the same is true when it comes to Yantiv as well. So therefore, the son of the Drisha writes in the name of his mother, make sure to benchlicht early on Yantiv, because that's a mitzvah of kavod. I would just add this caveat, that we observe in Chutz La'aretz, a second day of Yantiv, there you have to be careful. Because if you're going to light early on day two of Yantiv, you're doing malacha and hachana and Yantiv Rishon for the next day, that you can't do, but I'll tell you a secret. Tosus writes, Beitzach of Beitzim et Aleph, they used to do that. They used to do that. You know why Tosus says they used to do that? It was the first day of Yantiv. And you know what? Okay, you know what? Sunset is at 5:30. But you know what? It's 5 in the afternoon. It's already pretty dim in the house, even a half hour before sunset. And therefore, Tosa says that in our times, we need light on the first day of Yantiv, for the first day of Yantiv. So Tosa says their practice was to light candles already early at 5 in the afternoon on Yantiv Rishon and use that for the kavod of Yantiv Sheni as well. Because they could justify, they needed this on the first day of Yantiv, because it was somewhat dark, somewhat dim in the house. You know, for us, we have everything which is glowing, all the electric lights are burning, and therefore we don't really need the illumination of the Ner for Yantiv. So we specifically, on the second day of Yantiv, wait until after nightfall, after Tzeis, but on the first night of Yantiv, most common practice is to light early. Because after all, the Rambam writes, you're not just lighting early because you have no choice. That is the mitzvah of kavod. Kavod. Because you show how important the arrival of Shabbos is by preparing appropriately. And this is not mere preparation, but this is a mitzvah. This is what the Netziv writes in two places in Shulta. Shulta Aleph. Shulta Kuf Samach Tes. Sometimes the Torah underscores not only the mitzvah, but the preparation for the mitzvah. You know, if I were to ask you, what is the mitzvah of mezuzah? You would tell me to erect the mezuzah. But the Torah doesn't speak about placing mezuzah. The Torah speaks about uchisavtum, writing the mezuzah. When it comes to tzitzis, the Torah tells us, va'osulem tzitzis, gedilim tasen, make the tzitzis. When it comes to sukkah, the Torah doesn't simply say, sit in sukkah, but the Torah tells us, chalka sukkas tasen, construct the sukkah. Rashi writes, malchus tafches, the construction of the sukkah is part of the mitzvah. It's not just simply that build a sukkah in order that you can sit in the sukkah during sukkahs, but the Torah goes out of its way and emphasizes what I would have called just simply is necessary, pragmatic, prudential, preparation. No, but the Torah says that really is the onset of the mitzvah. And therefore, preparing for Shabbos. That is a mitzvah. It's not just simply that, well, if you don't prepare adequately, you're going to find yourself high and dry on Shabbos itself. No, more than that. That's considered to be. And that's why the Gemara writes, Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph, that regarding preparation for Shabbos, we apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoser bibishlucha. Don't rely on someone else to do it for you. If preparing for Shabbos is a mitzvah, everyone should participate in performing that mitzvah. So even if somehow the situation is, all I have to do is show up, and everything is provided for me. No, but the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos demands that you prepare, that you see to it, that you revere the arrival of Shabbos. And therefore, that preparation is considered to be critical. I'll tell you an amazing parallel, as Slavichik pointed out. Something, before I heard this, I didn't notice. The Rambam writes, you know, there are several ways that you prepare for Shabbos. You know, one is that you prepare yourself. You wash for Shabbos. You see to it that you're wearing appropriate clothing for Shabbos. The Rambam writes that Yoshev Metzapeh, you sit and you await the arrival of Shabbos. And the Rambam writes, the mood is a serious one. It's a solemn one. It's not a frivolous one. Rosalishik pointed out, look at how the Rambam describes each and every day how you prepare for davening in the morning. When you look in the Rambam, Perek Dal of Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tzitzis, the Rambam writes the same thing. The Rambam writes every morning, you should wash before davening. The Rambam writes, realize you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make sure that you look appropriate. You're not disheveled. That you look appropriate. The Rambam writes that, you know what, get there a little bit early, no? In order that you're not flying into daven. But you know what? Yoshev u'metzapeh. And the mood should be a serious one because this is amida lifnei hashchina, standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing parallel. The same way that the Rambam describes preparing for Shabbos, the Rambam describes preparing for daven. And what's the common link? The common link is clear. Both experiences of Shabbos and Tefillah is Amida Lifnei Hashchina, welcoming the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we do during davening. Da Lifnei Miyata Omeh. Reb Chaim writes, Amida Lifnei Hashchina, standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the essence of davening. And that's what we sing in the Chadodi. That's what we're doing when it comes to Shabbos. We're welcoming the Kabbalah Lifnei Hashchina. And therefore, not surprising that those comparisons are similar. That's why the Rambam writes, you like it. And this, I will tell you, ties in with Ner Chanukah. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos and Daf Chof Aleph, regarding Ner Chanukah mitzvasa, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Mishetishka Chama Ad Shetich L'Regem Anashok. The mitzvah begins Tishka Chama. The Rambam writes that when it's at sunset. The Mordechai writes at nightfall. In different practices, exactly when is the ideal time to light. Sunset, nightfall, the Rambam writes, Shkia Sacham at sunset. And how long does it continue Ad Shetich L'Regem Anashok? Until people are no longer found in the streets? Because an inherent part of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Pirsumenisa, to publicize the miracle. If there are people that will see, the Neros should burn. The Ritva writes explicitly, Shabbos Chafalof Mabez. The Gemara doesn't say half hour. The Gemara doesn't say an hour. Because this is an absolutely subjective window of time. It really depends on time and place. For us, Tich L'Regem Anashok is quite long, hours. And therefore, the Ritva writes, ideally, see to it if you can, the Ner Chanukah burns during the entire window of time. You know what you see written, make sure the Ner Chanukah burns for a half hour. You know why? Because the Rambam writes in his time, a half after sunset, you wouldn't be caught dead in the street. No, everything was pitch black. No one was outdoors. A half hour after sunset, their day was a very, very different day. But the Ritva writes, you know, for us, hours. Now that it depends on whether people are found in the streets at that particular time. And therefore, ideally, to see to it that the Ner Chanukah continues to burn. So mitzvasa, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins. Mishetishka chama, avshetech l'regem anashuk. What exactly does the Gemara mean? The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins, according to the Rambam, at sunset. Sunset now is roughly, this morning for me it was 4:30, now it's a bit later, no? But, so roughly 5:30. Whatever. The Rambam writes, that's the earliest time you can light the Ner Chanukah. If you light moments earlier, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. The earliest time you can light is at sunset. The Rambam, Perek Dalav of Chanukah. You look in the Rashba on that Gemara, Shabbos Chafal from Abayis. The Rashba writes, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins at sunset. You know what that means? The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is fulfilled if the candles burn from sunset and beyond. When do you light? Oh, the Rashba writes, you can even light earlier. You can light at 5 o'clock. As long as the candles continue to burn after sunset, you fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara writes, a little bit ambiguous, mitzvasa mishetish gachama. The mitzvah begins at sunset. The Rambam writes, that's referring to the act of lighting. The Rashba writes, no, it means you fulfill the mitzvah when the candles burn at that time, but you can even light earlier. And the Rashba says, I have two objections to this view of the Rambam that says the earliest time you can light is sunset. Number one, the Rashba writes, Maishna Mishabbos. Why is Ner Chanukah any different from Ner Shabbos? Ner Shabbos, the mitzvah is you have to derive benefit from the candles that are burning on Shabbos. And when do you light the Ner Shabbos? Earlier. So just like you can light the Neros Shabbos early, well, the Rashba writes you can light the Neros Chanukah early as well. Why does the Rambam distinguish? And then the Rashba raises a second question. What is the Rambam going to do next Shabbos? On Shabbos Chanukah. No? You're going to wait until sunset to light? Of course not. Mm-hmm. So the Rashba writes that just like on Shabbos Chanukah, you can light earlier. Oh, that's true. And every day of the week as well. You can light early. Just make sure it continues to burn. We generally follow the Rambam's view. No, don't light before sunset. But those are the two questions. The Rashba writes against the Rambam. How would you answer those questions against the Rambam? The first question is clear, no? The Rashba writes, you see from Ner Shabbos that you can light now, even though you only fulfill the mitzvah, then. The mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is on Shabbos. But you light before. So just like the act of lighting, the Maisa Hadlaka, does not have to be at the time of the Kiyam HaMitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Oh, the same thing is true when it comes to Ner Chanukah. You know what the Rambam would write? Not true. When it comes to Ner Shabbos, there's not only a mitzvah of Oneg, there's also a mitzvah of Kavod. The mitzvah of Kavod demands that you light early, but Ner Shabbos is not a good example of an act of lighting that is divorced from, separated from, fulfillment of any mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah of kavod. That is a mitzvah. And therefore the Rambam writes, on Shabbos there's very good reason that you can light early, because that is the mitzvah of kavod, the kadosh Hashem mechubad. Kavod applies on Shabbos, kavod applies on Yantiv, but there's no mitzvah of kavod when it comes to Chanukah. On Chanukah, the mitzvah begins at sunset. You cannot light a second before the mitzvah begins. The fact that on a Friday afternoon you can ben shlich is not a good example of lighting prior to the mitzvah, but rather that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos begins already before sunset because of the mitzvah of Kavod. And what would the Rambam do when it comes to Shabbos Chanukah? Here, I'll tell you something which is a stunning comment to the Shulchan Aruch. Tafresh Ayin Gimel. The Rashba writes, you know, if necessary, you can light earlier. Let's say sunset is 5:30. You know what? I'm going to light at 5 o'clock. What happens? Let's say a person lights at 5:30. Person lights at 6 o'clock, 6:30, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, for some unusual reason, unanticipated, the candles all of a sudden blow out. The Gemara says, technically, you fulfill the mitzvah. Kavsa,
If the candle somehow becomes extinguished, Eino zakuk. The mitzvah is fulfilled. Even if it doesn't end up burning the entire time, but if it was set up, and it should burn, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, a gust of wind extinguished the flame, kavsa, Eino zakuk. You're yotze. Let's assume according to that Rashi. You know, the candles have to burn 5:30 and on. I light at 5 o'clock. The Rashi, that's okay, because as long as it continues to burn during the requisite amount of time, you're okay. I light at 5 o'clock, it goes out at 5:15. You fulfill the mitzvah. I'll say, yeah, the Gemara says, if it comes extinguished, you're yotze. No. The only time if it becomes extinguished, you're yotze, is if it burned during the requisite time. The Rashba writes, realize, you're lighting at 5 o'clock. And if it's going to go out before 5:30, mitzvah shem yitzit tishka hachama shetich l'rag v'nashot. So that's what the Mechaber writes in Tafrei Shayim Gimel. If you light before, you light at 5 o'clock and it goes out at 5:10, you're not going to be yotze. Because it didn't burn during mitzvah shem yitzit tishka hachama shetich l'rag v'nashot. The Mechaber writes, that's true. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Mechaber writes, stunning, no? Friday, Shabbos Chanukah. You light at 5 o'clock. Sunset's at 5:30. It goes out at 5:15. You know what the Shulchan Aruch writes? You're yotze. Whoa. I'm yotze. It didn't even burn. It didn't reach sunset yet. But Mechaber writes, on Shabbos Chanukah, you still fulfill the mitzvah. What do you see from that? And you see something striking. You see something stunning. And that is, you know, we have a problem. That you can only light, as the Rambam writes, at the time that you fulfill the mitzvah. So on a typical night of Hanukkah, that's good. I'll wait until sunset and I'll light. I can't do that on Shabbos Hanukkah. How can you wait until sunset to light? So I have to light early. But you know what the Shulchan Aruch writes? It's not that you're lighting now and fulfilling the mitzvah then. In an unwavering fashion, the act of lighting is only meaningful if it's associated with the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And the fact that I have no choice, but I have to light the Ner Chanukah early on Friday afternoon of Shabbos Chanukah, you know what that means? That is the time of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Not that I'm lighting now in order to fulfill the mitzvah later, but rather, the fulfillment of the mitzvah begins on Shabbos Chanukah, even before sunset. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that if it goes out even before sunset, technically speaking, the mitzvah is fulfilled. That wouldn't be true any other night, but it's when it comes to Shabbos Chanukah. So I'll tell you, in all cases, without exception, the Rambam writes, the act of lighting has to be at the time of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But a critical question, when is the mitzvah fulfilled? When it comes to a regular Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of Kavod. So the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos already begins before Shabbos. So that's why you light before Shabbos. And you make a bracha before Shabbos, because this is the time of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. On a regular night of Hanukkah, that's not true. Because the mitzvah only begins at sunset, and therefore, as the Rambam writes, you can only light at sunset. You can't light earlier. On Shabbos Chanukah, since waiting until sunset is impossible, you have to light early. The Rambam's view is the mitzvah already begins at that earlier time. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes that even if it becomes extinguished moments later, before sunset, technically speaking, the mitzvah is fulfilled. So that's a fascinating idea when it comes to Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah is during the appropriate night of Chanukah. It doesn't begin early. But not true when it comes to the obligation of halakos and eros on Shabbos. There, to derive benefit from the candles on Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of oneg. But to see to it that you light early is not just because, you know, our hands are tied, we have no choice, we can't wait. But that is the mitzvah of kavod. And the Rambam writes, kavod speaks volumes. How you prepare for something, how you anticipate, how you treasure, how you yearn for the arrival of Shabbos. Just like the Rambam writes when it comes to davening. That's impactful. That informs the experience of Shabbos. It informs the experience of davening. And that's why the Rambam begins Arba Dvarim Nemru b'Shabbos. That these mitzvos of having a Suda on Shabbos, and Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, Hadlakas Aneros, are not independent obligations, but rather, Bein Mefurashim, Al Yedei Navim. It's an expansion of what the Torah teaches. That see to it in every aspect of your conduct on Shabbos, that Shabbos is a Shvisa Nikeres, that Shabbos is distinct, Shabbos is set apart from the Yemei Hachol.
Thank you, Sax. We'll be speaking again after tomorrow. I will take place right now.